Luke chapter 3. I want to read several passages. And the message today is all about Noah and the flood and the covenant that God made with him. So let me read a few passages in the New Testament and in the Old Testament covering this subject. Luke chapter 3, look at verse 36. This is the genealogy of our Savior going back to Adam. And speaking of that genealogy, it says the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech. Now chapter 17. Verse 25. But first must he, our Savior, suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, let's look in Hebrews 11. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And now in Genesis 6, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, perfect in all his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And look at verse 32 in chapter 5. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, in chapter 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth, make thee an ark of gopher wood, and so forth. Verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Now, in chapter 8, the flood has ended, and in verse 20, Noah builds an altar and offers up offerings, sweet savor offerings unto the Lord. And in verse 21, the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And look at verse 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, and so forth. Verse 12. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy the earth. I will remember my everlasting covenant. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for all the things that you revealed to us concerning your past dealings with man. Our God, let us know that ordinary men have recorded some of the things that we have read. They tell of such a flood. We are thankful that we have the account, the inspired account given by Moses. We take him to be its author, and our God, we take it to be true. We thank you for the things that you've told us, warning us about your severity. And we thank you for the things that you've told us about your goodness and long-suffering, the goodness, the severity of God. And we desire to learn about this covenant that you made with Noah. We pray, our God, that we shall understand it better after our consideration this morning. So help us, we pray. Prepare our hearts to speak, to listen, to be blessed, and we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Notice how inclusive was the title given to this message, all about Noah and the flood and the covenant that God made with Noah. That means that I can preach from Genesis to Revelation, and you can never say that I wandered from my subject. Because you'll find in the book of Genesis references to Noah and the covenant God made with him. And you'll find also that rainbow in the book of Revelation. So, it has to be all about Noah and the flood and the covenant that God made with Noah. I was asked by the brethren to consider this month the covenants of God. And that is what I will do as the Lord directs. And if you read men such as Scofield and Lewis Berry Chafer and Gabelline and Ironside, they will tell you that there are 8 covenants. They speak of the Edenic covenant, the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then the New covenant. If you search the scriptures, you will find that 6 of these that I've mentioned are called covenants. 2 are not. And if God does not call them covenants, I'm not required to look upon them as covenants. And so the first covenant that God is spoken of and is recorded as making with man is the covenant that God made with Noah. Noah and the flood and the covenant that God made with Noah. A remarkable thing. And I purposely read to you from the Gospels. I could have read to you from Matthew as well as Luke, but I read to you in the Gospel of Luke to show you the historicity of Noah. That we are not reading about some myth, some fable, but if you have a genealogy and you trace back your parentage, so Luke, in his Gospel, has traced the genealogy of our Savior, and do you realize that Noah was a grandfather of our Lord Jesus Christ? Our Savior is called the Son of David, but it's the great-great-great-great-grandfather, the great-great-great-grandson, and you add so many, many greats, but this is the direct line, and our Savior's genealogy goes through Noah. And so our Savior could look back and speak of Noah as his grandfather, just as he could speak of Lamech as his grandfather. He could speak of Enoch as his grandfather. And finally, he gets back to Adam, who is the Son of God. So here is Noah, and I want you to understand that God has him placed genealogically in Genesis 5, and you will also find him in 1 Chronicles 1, as well as in Luke chapter 3. And I tell you about him again, because you will find him mentioned in Isaiah 54, and also in Ezekiel chapter 14. All of these references are to an historical character named Noah, and his genealogy can be traced back through Adam. So, we who believe the Word of God are surrounded in the believing that he was a real personage, and that the flood was actual, because that matter has been settled. I do not want to hear any argument when the Lord Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, the matter is settled. And when he speaks of Noah entering into the ark, then there was this ark and there was the flood. The matter is at an end. The Son of God has spoken. Then, if you want to read more about Noah, you can find also about him in Peter as well as Hebrews. It tells us in the first epistle of Peter that there was long suffering in the days of Noah, the long suffering of God in the days of Noah. And then in 2 Peter, you read that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And in Hebrews 11, you discover that Noah was a man of faith. And so, from all of this, how could anyone who has any reverence and respect for what's contained in the Word of God, how could he ever say that Noah was some fictitious character that never existed? He existed. He is recorded historically, his genealogy, the events that happened in his life, all of these things are recorded, and they are verified by the Savior. And so, you and I simply read the history of Jonah. So often I will say this, I will get Jonah and the whale and Noah and the ark. So understand I'm talking about Noah today, even if I talk about Jonah. You have Noah and the ark, and it's verified throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament. And so if a man says, well, I still believe that he's a fictitious character, the flood is just a story that man has made up, then at your own risk, you look upon things that way. But for the simple Bible-believing Christian, we know that Noah was a person, a grandfather of the Lord Jesus Christ, one who was a man of faith and who did all of these things that I've told you about and that we've read about in the Old and in the New Testament. Now, I've been asked to speak about the covenants. And what I have to do is to briefly explain to you what a covenant is, and I shall explain it briefly and simply. I shall not give you details, facts, arguments, conjectures, all of those things, not become tedious, because it's difficult enough to keep a congregation like this awake at 11 o'clock on Lord's Day morning. And so I shall simply tell you things rather than make you think in a difficult way. I shall simply tell you these things, and you may accept them, and as the Bereans, check out, if it's so, later. A covenant in the Old Testament is spoken of this way. It's karath berith, to cut a covenant. And in the New Testament, there's only one word that is used for covenant, and that is diathete, theke. It means a disposition, of determining this and that. These simple words, because in the Old Testament, the covenant was established in a visible way and in a physical way after this manner. In Genesis 15, God's creatures are taken and cut in half. And it says that God walked between those creatures cut in half. In Jeremiah 34, Jeremiah tells about the animals, the calf being cut in half, and people walking between the two parts. You see, there is a part on the left and a part on the right, and there are two parties, and they go through these animals that have been cut to cut a covenant, and they agree to the parts contained in the covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, the same word, diatheke, is translated covenant, league, confederacy, and we could translate it also an agreement, a coming to one mind. This is the thought, this is the concept of a covenant. Parties come together and they agree to certain conditions, and they both promise to carry out the conditions that fall on them and fall on the other party. Here is an agreement. Here is a covenant. But what is so confusing is this. For some reason, in the New Testament, they translate the word diatheke, testament. We read from the New Testament. What does the word testament mean? You've heard of a last will and testament. Now, of all the times that the word diatheke occurs, one time in Hebrews 9, it could be translated testament. But all the other times, it should be translated covenant, because it's talking about the covenants that I read to you and told you about from the Old Testament and the New Testament. They are agreements of various sorts between varying parties. Let me show you. The first covenant that we read about was between God and man. But the other covenants are between tribes of Israel, the northern tribes and the southern tribes, between nations, as when the nation of Israel made a covenant with the Gibeonites, this rash covenant, then between individuals, as between Laban and Jacob, then, and this is most solemn, between a man and a woman, because when you get married, it is a covenant. This is what God says in Malachi 2. It speaks of the covenant that you've made with your wife, which is an agreement. And remarkably, you can make a covenant with yourself. We would call it a New Year's resolution. This is what it says in the book of Job. Job says, I have made a covenant with mine eyes that I might not look upon a maid. And so he makes an arrangement, an agreement, that when the temptation comes to look upon a maid, since Job is a righteous man, a godly man, he has made a covenant with his eyes that he will not look upon a maid. And so there are covenants of the greatest variety, some between heaven and earth, some between men and men, nations and nations, tribes and tribes, man and woman, all of them, understand, they are simply agreements. We call them covenants, but they could be called contracts, agreements, leagues, a confederacy. All of these things mean the same. Here are two parties coming together, and there are certain stipulations that are to be considered, and they are to be carried out by one party and by the other party. I make it that simple at first. In some of the covenants between God and man, the emphasis is almost completely on God. But in other covenants that God makes, there is a decided emphasis upon the responsibility of man's part of the covenant. But when it came to this covenant with Noah and God, it was simply the goodness of God. Now, I want to tell you some other things, because this is the introductory message telling you about covenants. Some things that accompanied covenants, things that would take place that would ratify covenants. And I told you about cutting the animals in two and the parties walking between these two animals. An agreement to do my part and your part. That would be carried out. But there were other things that were done. At times, when a covenant was to be made, gifts were given. When Abraham and Abimelech made a covenant, Abraham took 7 ewe lambs and gave them to Abimelech. And then they swear with one another. Oaths were taken when contracts were made. On other occasions, a stone and stones were gathered together, and here is an edifice, and people ate around that edifice, and then having eaten, then they would swear to one another concerning the parts of the covenant. All of these things were varying practices associated with making covenants, so that they would not be forgotten. And there were signs of covenants. There are things such as a pillar of stone, such as gifts that were given. I heard you swear that you would be faithful to this covenant, this agreement that we've made. All of those things were included, but the loveliest thing is this, that God himself has chosen the tokens or the signs of the covenants that he has made with man. After God has destroyed the earth, he makes a promise to Noah and his seed and to us. He makes a promise, and he says, you see that rainbow in the cloud? He said, that is my sign. That is my token to you that my covenant is that I will never destroy the earth completely again with water. And so that is the token. When God made a covenant with Noah, he had this rainbow that is in the sky as a visible token. And so how many people realize that? When you are looking at that rainbow in the sky, you are looking at a promise of God that he will never again completely destroy the earth by water. God says, this is my token of the covenant between me and you. Now, when Abraham had a covenant made with God, and God was the one who instigated it, initiated it, and in Abraham's case, it was mostly of God. More of that in the coming week in the will of God. But after this covenant is made, God said, there is to be a sign of the covenant, the sign of circumcision, and of all things, poor Abraham, when he was 99 years old, had this sign of the covenant in his flesh made, and all his kin and all of his servants, all his household, all the male household in the household were circumcised, and that was the token of the covenant between God and Abraham. Also, you'll find it again in Leviticus chapter 12 in the Mosaic covenant, but it started with the Abrahamic covenant. Now, next, you have this. You have in Exodus 31, when God makes a covenant with Israel, he says, not only is this covenant of circumcision, this is to be a sign, but he said, you are to keep the seventh day. You are to keep the Sabbath day, and that is a sign between me and the children of Israel. So do you see? There are some physical signs. There are some visible signs. There are days that are to be observed, but all of them have to do with covenants that have been made with God and man. And so God has his signs when covenants are made, and man have their signs when they make covenants. And the one that was most meticulous in his covenant was Laban with his nephew Jacob. You cannot help but laugh when you see these two charlatans coming together. And there was only one man who could outdo Jacob, and that was his uncle Laban. But the only reason that Jacob outdid him was that God was on his side. And so finally, when Jacob has pulled up stakes and slipped off and was leaving Laban, Laban finally catches up with him. And then when they come together, Laban wants to destroy him, but God had warned him in a dream not to do it. And so they said, now we've got to make a covenant together. And so Laban does his part, and Jacob does his part. And so Jacob brings a stone, and all his servants bring other stones, and here is something visible. And also they eat around these stones. They have a meal. And then they swear. Laban insists that Jacob swear. And he says this. He said, let these stones be a sign between me and you when we are absent from one another. And God, look on these stones and take care of things, because he knew the trickery of his nephew Jacob. And so here is a covenant that's made, and it was agreed. And it said, do you see these stones? He said, you have to promise me that you will not go beyond those stones, and I promise you that I will not go beyond those stones to harm one another. And my daughters that I have given you, you have to promise to keep them and not take other wives. You have to care for my flesh and blood that I've given unto you as your wives. And this covenant was formed. And so do you see? There are signs associated with covenants, and God delights in giving signs and tokens, and also God himself swears. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When God wants things asserted, at times with his oath, he will promise man that these things are going to be true. At times, God, who created the rainbow, points to it and says, this is a sign between us. Some things God does, but some things man does. The circumcision and also the other keeping of the Sabbath day, and there's one more. God says this. He said, whenever you offer sacrifices, you have to take salt and add it to my sacrifices. It is a covenant of salt. And so you see, I'm telling you all of these things because no two contracts, no two covenants had to be the same. Some had more responsibility on one party than the other. Some had great numbers involved, nation and nation, tribes and tribes. Some have just two, man and man. Some a man and a woman, and some just one, a covenant that you make with yourself, knowing your shortcomings, knowing your failures, and seeing the dangers, you have to make a resolution, a covenant with yourself, and you let God be the one who looks upon it, and God confirms this thing and gives you strength. So, you've asked me to speak about covenants, and this is the first covenant that God describes as a covenant in the Bible, and it is a covenant with Noah. And the question I would ask is this, why would God condescend to ever make a covenant with man? What covenant that man has ever made with God has been kept to a greater or to a lesser degree? Man has always failed. There are some that are good. And I thank God that this covenant was made with Noah, because God looked at the earth, and of all the earth, there was only one that God could find with whom he could make a covenant, and that was Noah. And he said, this covenant is going to include you and your wife and your three sons and their wives. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And the covenant covered the time when Noah was building the ark and entered the ark and went through the flood, and then the covenant also continued after the flood as to what God would never do again. And for this reason, all of you here, whether you realize it or not, are involved in this covenant that God made with Noah. He said, I make it with you and with your seed, and I remember I have still seen in my own day after a storm, I've seen on occasion a magnificent rainbow from one end of earth to the other end of earth. And I say, God has shown me his sign that he will never again destroy the earth. He's going to destroy it in the coming day by fire, but he will never destroy it again completely, totality, by water. Now, he has not said there would not be earthquakes, there would not be hurricanes, there would not be famines, there would not be droughts. But God said, I shall never destroy man in totality again. But the reason that God made a covenant with Noah, of all the inhabitants of the earth, there was only one that God could find that was worthy, with whom he could make a covenant. How sad. It says this concerning the earth. The earth had become corrupt. Wickedness, violence filled the earth. It said every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And God said, it repents me that I have made man. It started out with the sin of taking the forbidden fruit, and then Adam listening to his wife. And then it accelerates into murder when Cain kills his brother Abel. And then finally, from those two things, you go to the earth being filled with violence. And God says, it repents me that I've made man. Rejoice that God could find one like Noah. It says, Noah found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And here is where, in Hebrews 11, we find the promise of God that is explained in full in Genesis 6 through 9, the promise and the instructions that God gave to Noah. It says, Noah, by faith, being warned of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And so, by faith, God told Noah what was going to happen. And Noah believed God. And it says that Noah had sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, beginning when he was 500 years of age. And unlike the other patriarchs, after the first ones are named, it says, and they lived so many more years and had sons and daughters. It says that Noah only had three sons when he was 500 years old and no more. and at least from 500 years of age until 600 years of age, Noah was engaged in building that ark. Think, a lifetime building an ark by faith when there had never been any such thing as a flood. But God had told him that there was going to be a flood, and it said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And so this is why God puts the name of Noah in Hebrews 11, because things unseen, God told him what was going to come to pass, and he spent his lifetime with his sons and what other help he used in building that ark. And finally, in his 600th year, when the ark was completed, God said, enter into the ark. And the covenant that God made with him was this, that the ark that I told you to build, how to build it, I told you its dimensions, I promise you that it will take you safely through the flood. And I've had friends laughing at me when I've told them about Noah and the ark. They said, it wouldn't float. Isn't that remarkable? That God made a covenant with Noah, and he said, it will float, and it will hold all the animals, all the creatures necessary to be preserved. That is my covenant with you. And so when he entered into the ark and the door was shut, it began to rain, even though man had never seen such a rain. And after all that time that Noah was in the ark, and the ark settled, God had taken him safely through, and then Noah destroyed part of the ark and went out, and he had been taken safely through. And so that part of the covenant of God with Noah has been fulfilled. And for more about Noah and the ark, we'll have to come back tonight because time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your great faithfulness. We marvel, our God, that you would condescend to pick up fallen man and work with him. We are so glad that among humanity, corrupt, wicked humanity, at least you found one and his family that you could work with. And so, our God, for the covenant that you made with Noah, you kept the first part of it. You took him safely through the flood. And now, Father, we are his descendants. We are his seed. And you promised that you will never destroy the earth again by a flood. And we look to you in faith that you will fulfill that part of the covenant as well. We thank you that you are the God that makes covenants, and we are thankful that you are the faithful God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.